Thank you for having me. And Charlotte, thank you for playing one of my favorite hymns. She asked me last night what were some of my favorite hymns, and I told her right away, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, because at the very end, demands my soul, my life, my all. And she also asked me for invitation hymns each night, and it's a blessing to see your concern for us to make sure we have appropriate music with the message and also in the church. Thank you so very much. Thank all of you. This has been an enjoyable week for us. We've had a good time fellowshipping with so many of you and having the opportunity to be able to hear from you some of the things that are on your hearts and some of the things that you're dealing with, and realizing that we all have those things that we're trying to cope with and deal with. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to preaching tonight after hearing some of the challenges that some of you are facing, because we face them too. We're all in it together, but the food has been great. I'm glad I've advertised for ice cream, because I've been getting good amounts of ice cream. Had some more with Pastor and Lynn tonight, and grateful for their faithfulness in the Lord here and for their kindness to us. And I told him, and I'm going to tell you, the folks here at Wheatland Baptist Church, listen well. And nobody, as far as I could tell, fell asleep. And so I didn't have to give whiplash to anybody, which was nice as well. But you have participated. I think you have the verse memorized, Joshua 1:8. I'm going to find out right now, because we're going to say it together, because we've been talking about biblical success, success God's way. So what does Joshua 1:8? Now, I'm going to get it right tonight. Reference, verse, reference. I've got to finish strong. So here we go together. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1:8. Oh, I made it. And thank you. I trust that verse will remind you. Find out what the Bible says and do it. I've talked to some of you about a situation we've been dealing with this week with a couple by long distance that are were separated, going through some problems and everything. And we've been just trying to say, you just got to do what the Bible says, and God will bless you. And I give you the report just before we came to church. They had a good conversation. We got another pastor involved in their area. And so we have a little light, you know, it was seeming pretty hopeless there at the beginning of the week. And now some possibilities. And so everybody goes through trials. Everybody goes through difficulties. We all have our issues that we have to deal with. And I want you to see in John chapter 16, I've quoted this verse before, but I want you to see it. Because in verse 33, I have a red letter edition of the Bible. I don't know how many of you have that, but I have that. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? So don't take what I'm saying to think this is any more important, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But the red letters say this is from the mouth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he says in John 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. This world is not our home, folks. We're just a passing through, but as long as we're in the flesh, as long as we're in this world, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be challenges. But notice the rest of the verse. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And therefore, no matter what trial you go through, you can have peace. You can have victory. And I want us to turn back to James chapter 1 to talk about this tonight, because I believe in James chapter 1, we have some very important truths that help us to become overcomers in this wicked world in which we live, that can give us strength to carry on through the trials of life. And I say this, and I don't know where you are tonight, but I think you're in one of these three places. You've either just come out of a trial. That's me. Again, got my hair back. It's curly and kinky, but it's here. And I didn't have to worry about the wind. It didn't bother it at all, some of you. So it's just been great, you know. But maybe it'll stay this way, maybe it won't. But either you're just coming out of a trial, like I went through with the chemotherapy treatments and the lymphoma, or you're in a trial right now, and I have talked to some of you, and I know that's your state. I know you're in that right now. But some of you say, whew, I'm not coming out of one. I'm not in one. Well, hang on. You're going to face one in the not too distant future. Because there's trouble in this world. There's trials in this world. There's difficulties in this world. And none of us know what another day might bring. Only God knows. And God is in control, and we can trust Him at all times. And so here in James chapter 1, we're going to read the first five verses. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, and let me ask you a question, how many of us lack wisdom? If you don't raise your hand right now, you're lacking wisdom. You know, you don't always raise your hand, you agree, but you didn't. But we all lack wisdom. He said, what are we supposed to do? Ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. I'm going to give you three biblical truths that I believe if you'll practice, you will have success in dealing with the trials of life. Number one is found in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So truth number one is, in the midst of trials, rejoice. Did you hear that? What are we supposed to do? Now, you know Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. That's right. And again, I say rejoice. But I want you to go back to 1 Peter and notice how to deal with some of the persecutions and things that come our way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, with according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight, he's your Savior, you have a reservation in heaven. Boy, you can rejoice in that, can't you? That no matter what happens here, I have a home with Jesus Christ in heaven. And by the way, if you're here and you don't have that confidence, you'll never have peace until Christ is your Savior. The Prince of Peace comes to reside within. But he says, you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life, so we can rejoice. Though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I have an opportunity to glorify God even through my trial. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, there it is again, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified even through a trial. Now, when we think of trials, is there anybody in the Bible that comes to your mind? Is there a whole book of the Bible that talks about it? Right? Okay, let's say it together. Okay, good. You could say Joseph too, though, right? Couldn't you say? But it's not a whole. Joseph went through trials, and what did he say? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You picked the right one, Job. I set you up for that. And what did he say? You know, I've learned how to have blessings. I've learned how not to have those blessings. You know, I've learned it that I can praise the Lord no matter what the situation. Go back to Job. We're kind of keep moving. So go back to Job. I want you to see two verses in Job. And I don't think any of us have suffered as much trial and tribulation as Job. But look what it says in Job 1, verse 21. And Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and hath taken away, so curse the name of the Lord." What an attitude. What's he going to do? He's going to bless the name of the Lord. Go over to Job 23. Job chapter 23. And look what it says in verse 10. "But he, the Lord, knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Does that remind any of you about a song that's in your hymnal? Take your hymnals out. Number 475. 475. And when you find it, I think you'll remember it. Charlotte, would you come to the piano and play number 475? Because this song comes from one of our contemporaries. Actually, Ron Hamilton is the same age as me. Well, now he's eternal now. He's in heaven. But I mean, we were the same age, and we were friends and co-laborers. And he wrote this song. Let's sing just the first verse together. Okay, you ready? God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and holding a man, thanks to the Lord, when testing seems small, in darkness he giveth a song. Here you go. Oh, rejoice in the Thank you very much. Now, are you all familiar with how that song came about? Ron Hamilton had a speck in his eye, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor told him, "Now we're going to have to do surgery to get that to check that speck, and if that's just an abnormality in your eye, you're going to wake up with a sore eye because we're going to medicate it." If it happens to be cancer, which it could be, you're going to wake up without an eye. And sure enough, what happened? He woke up without an eye. And they take the eye out and have to let the socket heal before you can put in an artificial eye. And he had this patch that he had this leather patch made, and he put that on his eye, and he went back to church at Southside Baptist Church, where my wife and I attend while I was doing my doctoral studies at Bob Jones. And he was there at Southside Baptist Church, and all the boys and girls were kind of pointing at him and making fingers at him, you know, like saying, "Oh, look at him, look at him. What's going on here? What's he, you know?" And some little boy got up the nerve to go and say, "Hey, are you a pirate?" And Ron thought for a little bit, and he's pretty quick-witted, and he said, "Well, I guess I am. As a matter of fact, I'm Patch the Pirate." How many of you have ever heard of Patch the Pirate? Yeah. And he, at that time, wrote this song, "Rejoice in the Lord." He doesn't make any mistakes. And so when I'm asking you to rejoice and say, and this is what we need to do, is rejoice, I'm not saying that you say, "Whoopee, I have lymphoma. I am so glad the doctor told me I had lymphoma. I can't wait to go through radiation treatments." You know, I'm not. Or, "Whoopee, I have a wayward child. They're not living for the Lord right now. And boy, I'm so glad about that." Or, "Whoopee, my husband divorced me. You know, and now I have to live by myself." Or, "My spouse died, like my son, when she was 39 years of age. And here's my son with a wife and five children. And she passes away, and now he's got five children." And that's when we left Kansas City and went down to be there so that we could be help out. Whoopee! Isn't this great? No, it's terrible. So I'm not telling you to rejoice in whatever tragedy or difficulty you're going through. Here's what I'm asking you to rejoice in. Now, here's point number one, truth number one. Rejoice in the providence of God. Would you say that with me? Rejoice in the providence of God. And I'm sure you can all think of this verse. You may not know the reference, but I'm going to give it to you. Romans tells us very plainly that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Where's that found? See, I thought you all knew it. The question isn't whether we know it then. The question is, do we believe it? Because God has a plan. God has a purpose. God is working all things together for good if we love Him, serve Him, and trust Him. We can rejoice, not in the trial, but we can rejoice in what God's going to do through the trial. We don't rejoice in the problem. We rejoice in the possibilities of what God can do through the problem. And so, number one is rejoice in the providence of God. Now back to James. Let's look at the second thought here in James chapter 1. Because he goes on, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, and wanting nothing." Okay, point number one, truth number one was what? Now, I'm an educator. Repetition aids learning, so we're doing this. I'm not trying to treat you as children or anything. I'm just saying, what is point number one? Very good. Rejoice in the providence of God. Number two, remember the purpose of God. Remember the purpose of God, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Remember we said on Sunday morning, it's not just salvation that God wants in our lives. It's also sanctification, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yep. Becoming more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know 2 Timothy 3:16? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for, you got it, and for instruction in righteousness. Then verse 17 says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that we might become perfect. Now, what does that mean? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, just reference this, we as pastors are told to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Ephesians 4:13, unto a perfect man. And then he defines it. You know what he says? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now let me ask you something. Did Christ suffer? Did Christ have any trouble? Did Christ have some difficulties here on this earth? They crucified him, right? I don't know about you, but I haven't been crucified yet. Now, I think there's some people that wanted to crucify me, but they didn't get the chance. You know, maybe you felt that way too, and they sure said some pretty nasty things. But I haven't gone through what Jesus went through. But God wants me to become more like Christ and learn how to take trials and difficulties as a providence of God. And we quoted Romans 8:28. Have you memorized verse 29? If not, turn back to it. Because I would encourage you to memorize that one as well. Because Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to his purpose. You see, he's got a purpose, and he tells us then the purpose. He says, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, God's goal for us is all things are working together so that we might become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we might be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ better. The Bible says, God's the potter, we're the clay, right? And most of you are familiar with that process of the clay and then the potter molding a vessel out of the clay. And guess what it takes to have mold the vessel? Do you know what it takes? Pressure, right? And the Bible says, does the clay say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? Well, this clay sometimes does. I'm not supposed to. Okay, maybe you're more superhuman than me, but I wonder, ouch! Stop! I've taken enough. No more pressure. No. He's going to keep doing it until he makes us into the image of Jesus Christ. Because that's his purpose, is to make us a vessel fit for the master's use. Go first to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And there's so many purposes. There's so many reasons. You know, I know sometimes God uses trials for discipline. I understand that because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. I know in our lives, he used it for direction. We knew it was time to leave the pastorate and move to North Carolina because of Julie's passing and because of her sickness. I told some of you that my wife left me in 2012. You say, oh, well, she left me for a good reason because she had a daughter-in-law that was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, and she needed help with 5 children, and so did my son. And, of course, then we moved down there once she died and lived with Matt and the family. But it surely made our direction because there were people in the church that said, well, we want you to stay in the church when the new pastor comes. I'd already told them that I was only going to be there till I was 65, and we had started the process of getting a new pastor. And then there were people in the church that said, well, I think the best thing for you would be to go somewhere else because, you know, you're such a domineering figure, and you've been here a long time, and it'd be hard to follow you, you know. And Pastor Terry's a lot nicer than me, so it worked out real great. But maybe you didn't have that. I had some people in our church that thought the best thing for us to do would be to get out of Dodge, you know. And of course, I would like to stay here, you know. But God made it very plain in our direction. Sometimes it's devotion. It's to deepen our faith. And it's sometimes discipleship. It gives us a chance to not only be discipled ourselves, but to disciple somebody else. Because look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What's he saying? Sometimes we go through trials and difficulties, and God gives us strength and God gives us comfort so that we can then minister to somebody else that's going through the same thing. You know, I've not had a wayward child, so it's more difficult for me to talk to somebody about a wayward child the way somebody else can talk to them about a wayward child that have gone through it and are dealing with it. I haven't gone through a divorce. I can't minister to people with divorce the same way that some people in our church could minister to them, because they've been through it and they knew how to minister to them and how God could give them comfort and bring them through. I haven't lost my wife. You know, I've had friends that have lost my wife, and I have a son that lost his wife. And guess what? My son has a worldwide ministry now to families that lose their wife and mother, and he's had a chance to minister in ways and actually matchmake a few times too, because people knew Matt, knew about the situation. He was at the Wilds, it's pretty public. And they contact him, they call him, and he loves the opportunity to minister. I don't know if any of you heard about the bus accident in Indianapolis, Indiana, where Chuck Phelps lost a son and a daughter-in-law and a baby that she was expecting. Did any of you hear about that story? And of course, I know Brother Phelps real well. And of course, we live in Indianapolis now. And my son knew the family. Chad, the one that was killed in the bus accident, was an intern with us in Kansas City. And so we had great understanding. And a lot of people ministered to the Phelps family and rallied around. And my son, Matt, he went to the funeral, not just for Chuck Phelps, but for somebody else. Because what a lot of people don't know is in that bus accident, there was also a man who lost his wife because she was one of the sponsors that went to camp with the young people. And so here was a man that was left with five children. Matt had five children and no wife. And Matt drove from the Wilds, yes, to be a blessing to the Phelps family, but he personally wanted to talk to that man and give him encouragement and give him hope because of what he had been through. You see, folks, God takes us through things sometimes so we can minister to other people. I talked to you about Oh Me and Oh Three last night. Please, no more in '04. I just wanted to stay alive in '05 and get it fixed in '06. And if not, I wanted to go to heaven in '07. You heard about some of those things last night, and I don't need to repeat them. But it's been amazing the opportunities I've had as a pastor to minister other pastors because of them seeing what I had to go through. And I have a new ministry to pastors because of the trouble we had at Tri-City in Kansas City in '03. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. Job didn't ask for it either. And Jesus even said, "Lord, let this cup pass from me. Take it all away. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I know he has a purpose. And his purpose is to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can have a more effective ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if any of you guys here ever lifted weights. I'm kind of looking around to see if I see a weightlifter. You know, just see me. Oh man, I know you. I'm a weightlifter. You can probably tell that and notice that. Well, years ago, I at least know something about weightlifting. And see if you can help me. Okay, if I'm lifting weights and I want to build up my strength, do I increase the weight? Do I put weights on or as I work out, or do I take weight off? Is this hard? You all got it? Okay, do I put weight on or take weight off? That's right, put weight on. All right, another question for you weightlifters. If I want to build up my endurance, do I do more repetitions or less repetitions? Sharp group you have here, Pastor. They know you can start a weightlifting class right here in the church, you know. Okay, that's true. Then why do we get surprised when God puts on more weight? If we want to get stronger, why do we get shocked when the trial's longer? When he's trying to build endurance and make us so we can remain faithful no matter what comes our way. You see, God has a purpose. And back in James chapter 1, what does he say? The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, you're being sanctified. You're becoming like Christ. You're expanding your opportunity of ministry. You're learning how to trust God in ways that other people haven't learned because they haven't had that trial. But you're going to be able to help them someday when they go through it. So number one, rejoice in the providence of God. Number two, remember the purpose of God. He's forming a vessel, making us like Christ, so we can serve Christ even better in the days ahead. And then number three, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, which we all agree we do, then let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and he'll consider whether he'll give it to you or not. He'll evaluate your situation and may or may not give you that wisdom, but at least ask. That's because that's your responsibility. Oh, I see a lot of heads shaking. No. That's good. You're still with me. What does it say? It says, and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. Now stay with me. In the Bible, when you're reading the Bible, there are different kinds of verses, right? There's commands, thou shalt. There are prohibitions, thou shalt not. We talked about principles, right? S-T-O-P. S is what? Stumbling block. T is what? Testimony. O is what? Oh, by the way, this was Sunday night. I know this has been a while, but I told you, repetition aids learning. O is what? Others. And P is what? Persuaded. Be fully persuaded in your mind. So we have principles. We have parables. We have prophecies. What is this verse? What kind of biblical verse is this? I heard it. Who said it? Thank you, Kathy. It's a promise, right? And he shall give it to you. This isn't a question mark. This is a promise. We talked last night, Philippians 4:9. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. What is that? It's a promise. So number three, when you're going through trials, you're going through difficulties, rely on the promises of God. Say that one. Rely on the promises of God. Remember, Jesus Christ, to defeat the devil in Matthew chapter 4, every time he did something. We talked to how the devil tried to test him to tempt him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And every time it came, three different times, What did Jesus do? Thank you. Quoted scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. Why did he do that? Because thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Right? Psalm 119, verse 11. He defeated devil with scripture because it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So we need to memorize promises. So when we're going through the trials and difficulties, we can defeat the devil as well by relying on the promises of God. So we have just a little bit of time here, and you've done so well this week. I'm just going to see, just think for a little bit, and what are some of the promises of God that we should be relying on? You don't have to give me the reference, okay? You may not have the reference right here. But what are some of the promises of God that you rely on to help you in time of trouble? To help you when you have a trial? What is the verse that comes to your mind? Who wants to get us started? Boy, that's a great one. Never leave thee nor forsake. I think it's Hebrews 13:5, but don't hold me to it. I think that's where it's found. Somebody else. Just because if I can give the reference, I'll try. And if you know it, fine. But I think that's where that one is. Give me another one.
Trust in the Lord with all my heart.
Go finish it, Lynn.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy.
How many of you memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? That's one of my favorites. Just trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. It just doesn't make any sense. Join the club. You know, it doesn't make any sense. All thy ways acknowledge him. God, I'm trusting you. And he shall direct your paths. What else? Anybody else want to share one? Yes, Kathy.
Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on
thee
because he trusted in thee.
One of my wife's favorites, I know. And her mother's too. And as she was going through her trials in later years of life. Good. Anybody else want to share one? Anybody else have one that just pops to you? I don't want to drag this out too long. Yes, sir.
Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen. We talked about looking forward to heaven, you know, and realizing that 1 Peter passage, that's a great passage that talks about that as well. Anybody else? I don't want to drag it out, but could we not go through the Psalms and just find them one right after another? Go back to something. My wife helped me so much during Omi and O3, but one of the ways she helped me was the previous year, I think it was, hon, that you had gone through the Psalms, and she suggested to me that I would read 5 psalms every day and go through the psalms every month during that time. And I'm just telling you, there's all kinds of psalms. And I'm just going to pick out a few. We're gonna let go quickly. But Psalm 27, verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verses 13 and 14, the same chapter. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Most of you are familiar, are you not, with Psalm 46? God is my refuge and strength. A very present help in time of trouble. That's verse 1. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Look what it says in Psalm 41. Psalm 41 in verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted did eat my bread and hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and rise me up that I may requite them. But this I know that thou favorest me because thine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity and settest me before thy face forever. That one, I have some special things written there because there were individual people that were coming after me, some that were my own familiar friends that raised up their heel. And it's painful. Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I could just go on and on and on. Psalm 61 and verse 2, from the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. My son Matt, when he gave testimony of what was happening in Julie's life to the staff of the Wilds, had them turn to Psalm 34. And he challenged them with this psalm, but I'm going to just read a couple verses. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 8 is where he really focused. He said, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And he said, God was good when he allowed me to meet Julie. God was good when I married Julie. God was good when he gave us children. God was good when he took us to the Wilds and allowed us to serve here at the Wilds. And God is still good that my wife is battling colon cancer. And he'll be good even if he takes her to heaven, which he did. So, blessed is the man that does what? Trusteth in him. I know that I've memorized a lot of verses in regard to not fainting. Because as a pastor, I'm sure your pastor never feels this way, but some of us, especially going through some of those trials, so Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall not mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, seeing ye, therefore I have this ministry, as I've received mercy, I faint not. Verse 17 of the same chapter says, I faint not, though the outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if you faint not. And Joshua 1:9. That's a pretty easy one to remember, right? Have I not commanded you? Then be strong of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Even in the midst of the fire, he's there with us, just like he was with the Hebrew children. You see, folks, grab hold of God's word and apply it to your life. And I saved this last one for now because 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 says, his grace is sufficient for me. Right? So I'm going to use a little acrostic grace to kind of expand on some things that Jim Berg put in his book. And talking about truths, stabilizing truths for life. I'm giving him credit, but I have five. He only had four, okay? But I put it to an acrostic, and I'm going to give it to you now. G, God's grace is sufficient. Claim it. R, God's reason is Christ-likeness. Reason is Christ-likeness. He wants to be like Christ. A, God's answers are in the Bible. God's answers are in the Bible, so get in the Bible. Don't run from the Bible, run to the Bible. C, God's compassion is constant. And E, God's escape is promised. He'll make a way of escape so that you can bear it. God's way, E, escape is promised. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Okay, I know I'm trying to get done on time. So, of course, this is the last service. I can go as long as I want. That's right. You may not come back tomorrow. You won't come back tomorrow night, so I don't have to worry about it. Okay. G, everything is God's. God's. So G, grace is sufficient. That's G. Grace is sufficient. R, reason is Christlikeness. A, answers are in the Bible. C, compassion is constant. And E, escape is promised. Promise. He'll not tempt you about what you're able, but with the way of temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And just to really show you how nice a guy I am, I'm going to give you an honorary doctorate tonight. Now, how's that? I'm going to give you an honorary doctorate. My doctorate is EDD, a doctorate of education, EDD. And if you practice these truths, what's number one? Not these five I just gave you, but the three I gave you in the message. What are they? Number one? Rejoice in the providence of God. Number two? Remember the purpose of God. And three? Rely on the promises of God, you get an honorary doctorate. E, expect opposition. In this world, there is tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So D, depend upon God. Depend upon God. And number three, are you listening? Don't quit. Don't quit. Aren't you glad God doesn't quit on us? Hallelujah. Same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't quit. It's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Stay faithful until Jesus comes again. We talked about rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. Would you turn to number 430 now? And I liked what you did before, Charlotte, so come back up to the piano, because this is a song that I'm sorry to confess is sometimes my testimony. Well, I want you to turn to it, and then before we sing it, I'm going to quote it for you, because this I'm sorry to say that this can be my testimony sometimes. Oft times when life is gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. What are they? Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, Lord, I need you. When the winds are blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, and you're going to have both, times of trials and times when you don't have trials, but we're all going to go through them. Keep me always on my knees. Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because, Lord, I need you. Yes, I need you. Let's sing it together. Number 430. Oft times when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Whether you realize it or not, my friend, you need God. God is my refuge and strength, and He's yours too. A very present help in time of trouble. And we all go through it. The question is, do we turn to God for the answers? Do we rejoice knowing God's in control? Do we remember that He's trying to make us like Christ? Do we run to the Scriptures to grab hold of His promises, or do we run away from the Scriptures? Folks, I'm telling you, God wants us to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ. The potter is shaping the clay. And I don't know what all of you are going through. I know what some of you are going through, but I know I appreciated all the people that prayed for me during my cancer treatments. And everywhere I go, people ask how I'm doing and say, "We prayed for you, we prayed for you, we prayed for you." And I am so thankful that God answers prayers. And He would have answered my prayer and the prayers of others if the cancer wouldn't been eliminated, because my prayer was, "Thy will be done." And can I tell you something? Heaven's a far better place than here. But a lot of people prayed for me. I'd like to pray for you tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you say, "Please, Pastor Herbster, pray for me because I'm going through some trials. I'm going through some difficulties, and I want to handle them properly. I want God to strengthen me. I want God to change me. I want God to use me through this trial and after the trial. Pray for me." If that's the case, would you put your hand in the air? Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, already. More, more. At least half the crowd already. And I know that because it's a way of life. And some of you have shared with me. Are there others that say, "Pray for me"? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Others. Oh, we need to pray one for another. We need to bear one another's burdens and thereby show the love of Christ. Anybody else before I pray? Father, You've seen the hands and know the hearts of all these people, many who are going through some challenges right now. And I don't know what they are, but I know what mine are. And I'm thankful that You've given peace in the midst of the storm, and that You have given strength to overcome. And I pray that's what You'll do for these dear friends. You'll give them peace, You'll give them strength, and You'll give them a new ministry to other people as they see You meeting their needs, and You, the God of all comfort, comforting them. Might they comfort others with the comfort whereby they've been comforted. And I pray, Lord, that You will help all of us to cast our care upon You, because You care for us. And Lord, I pray for this church and this pastor and his wife, that You'll continue to bless and expand the ministry here in McPherson, Kansas. And I pray that even some of the things we've shared this week from Your word will be a help to individuals and to this church. And I pray all of us will purpose to be faithful till Jesus Christ, until He comes again. And God, I pray that if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice that doesn't have that confidence of Christ as Savior, they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you quietly stand to your feet? Nobody looking around. And I want us to end again with a song of prayer. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Now, I don't know how you want to respond, or if some of you want to lay some situations on the altar here, you feel free to come and kneel and do that. If you want to just surrender to the Lord right where you are, but make sure, if you're going to get that honorary doctorate, you realize you expect opposition. You depend upon God, and you just don't quit. Let God be the potter. We're the clay. Let Him mold you into a vessel fit for the Master's use. Father, we commit ourselves through this prayer that we sing to You. And might we do it genuinely, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You respond as the Lord would have you respond as we sing. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way.
Father, we thank You for the opportunity we've had to be in Your house tonight. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the ministry of Your word in our hearts. I pray, Father, that we would and have been receiving it. Father, knowing that You are seeking to mold us, as we have been reminded tonight, of Christ into Christ's likeness. Father, we pray for those needs that have been mentioned tonight, that You would be at work in these hearts. They would keep themselves focused on You, to listen to the truths that they've heard tonight, Father. Take them home. May they be recalled to mind tomorrow. It's easy in the moment to rejoice and be thankful for what You are doing, but tomorrow may come. And the struggles will be there, the challenges, the trials. Bring these verses back to our minds. That, Father, we would not quit. We're Yours. We're Your children. You love us. You care for us far more than we even understand. So, Father, I pray that we would truly fly out to You, cry out to You, that You would keep us on our knees, humbled before Your presence, knowing that You are at work. Your will is being played out. Your purpose and plan is going forward. And Father, truly we rejoice in that. And we thank You for how You will bring us forth. As Job reminded us, we will come forth as gold, refined, bringing honor and glory to You. Dismiss us in Thy care tonight. Again, we do thank You for this week of services. We thank You for the time that Dr. Herbster has been with us, ministering Your word. It has been a blessed week. Truly, Father, may we go forth thankful for all that You have done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.